When you're through the eye of the photographer, do you like the places, the people, or the cuisine? Which one is your favorite to photograph?
Gosh, you know, I grew up in Sonoma County, and it's impossible for me to separate the three. When I think about a location or a destination, to me, it's all of it. It's the scenics, the people, the cultural elements, the cuisine, and that's just how, you know, I was raised in Sonoma County. Everything is an amalgamation. And so this whole new Instagram era where people are photographing everything together for the first time, that's what I've been doing my whole life.
Well, let's talk about this book, Cuba. Why did you decide for the people of Cuba, the food? I mean, there's a sort of openness that's taking place right about now. Did it all kind of come together for that?
Yeah, so it's absolutely, I think, a place where it just smacks you in the face that it's all connected when you're there in such a wonderful way. I guess I didn't mean smacks, but it just, you can't help but notice it immediately. My first trip to Cuba was in 2003. I was on a legal organized tour. Nobody was really going at the time, and they were so limited then. They really had very few resources, and food was very bland. It was just mostly for tourists. You could have chicken and rice, but it was incredibly bland. Rice, maybe some beans. And they didn't have spices because they hadn't been trading with any other country for so long. And so now, since 2010, the government has allowed people to open up independent restaurants. They initially were called paladars, and you would go into someone's house and you'd sit in their kitchen or their living room and their dining room, and it would just be a small meal made by the matron of the family, typically. And now, in the last 5 years, restaurants have been opening up, particularly in Havana, with a lot of outside investment from Cubans who have either lived abroad and they've come back, or they've never lived in Cuba and now it's their first time there. So you can see restaurants that are the kind of quality you would see in any big city in America in Havana, which is really remarkable that that's happened in just a five-year period. So with that, obviously, came international influence with more tourism. Chefs have new ideas and exposure to things, and I talk a lot about that in my book. So there's really new flavors and spices coming from the outside world, and it's a real change for what you see and taste in Cuba, which is wonderful. It also, the more restaurants that are opening, the more locals are employed in a private sector. In a traditional job, Cubans make approximately $25 a month, which, as you know, is not very much, and it's not sustainable. But if you can work in the tourism sector, then you can make endless amounts of money. So if you are working in the tourism sector, for example, in a restaurant, you get tips, and that's something that is really remarkable. You also then have access to the sort of food that maybe another Cuban may not. So you can bring it to your family, your friends, your neighbors, which is really important. So a lot of restaurants depend on the black market. They might not tell you, but they do rely on the black market to get most of their supplies. And so if you are working at a restaurant, you're then having access to more healthy and robust ingredients. So you can share that with it's such a sharing economy. So you can share that with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors. You can use that to trade for something else. It's a really incredible place. I always say that Cuba, you know, they invented Uber and Airbnb long before those two things existed. And it's true. It's, if you can think of anything that is involved in a sharing economy, they have it. So it's a pretty remarkable place.
We're talking with Liza Gershman. She has written the book, put together with great photographs, stories, as well as recipes, called Cuban Flavor. What can you tell us about the plantain? That seems to be something that shows up a lot. It's not a banana, but it's used in a lot of different ways. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the plantain is definitely a staple of Cuban cuisine. Cuban cuisine, I guess, traditional Cuban cuisine is most closely linked to what we think of as Puerto Rican food. And so it's, you know, rice, beans, chicken, pork, and plantains. And the plantain is a starch. It looks a lot like a banana, and you can use it. You can eat it sweet when it's not quite so ripe. You can add sugar, and it's a delicious sweet treat. Or you can fry it up and kind of mash it into a flat patty and use it as a chip, which is really popular. You can use that to top with ceviche or something else for an appetizer. That's really a big hit from the book. I've found that people just love the ceviche recipe. It's a mojito ceviche, and that is, it's really popular.
And I guess a lot of fresh fruit is also used in a lot of their meals.
Absolutely. It's an island in the Caribbean, right? So when you think of that, you know that trees are growing and you're getting coconuts and pineapples and mangoes and papayas and things like that. So absolutely, that's something that they have access to. And if you go out into the countryside of Cuba, you can just chop, you know, cut something down off of a tree, and it's very plentiful. And it's really incredible to see all the fresh fruit. They also have some other fruits that we don't have, called like a mamey, or you can get them in Florida. So that's a great great fruit to have.
You know, the only thing missing from this book is music. I would think that would be the other part. The company soundtrack would probably make it an entire visit to the island.
Absolutely. If you go on my website, cubanflavorbook.com, you can hear some of that wonderful music. Cuba is just vibrant, and it is vibrant. You know, part of that is because of the music everywhere. And I was there during the week Fidel Castro died, and there was no music, no dancing, and no drinking for 9 days. And, you know, that was like watching a movie without a soundtrack. So it is definitely, music is such a part of the culture. And I have videos that can, if you want to get the feeling of Cuba and not just the flavor, you can turn on the videos from the website and hear more about Cuba. We also plan legal trips. We leave every day. I've taken many, many people down to Cuba. We are always up to date on the most current regulations. And so if you want to come on a trip, cubanflavorbook.com. We've got trips that leave every day for Cuba. You know, sign up and join us and come on down with us and learn more.
Do you have a special meal or something you enjoy? I mean, we can now make this here in the States just with this cookbook, but is there certain things that you like to always partake in when you visit?
Oh, yeah. You can actually make everything from the cookbook here. In the front, I offer a how to stock your pantry section, and most things you can easily find at your local grocer. And then a few of the specialty spices you can just order online at a retailer like Amazon. So everything can be made here, which is great. That's why I included those specific recipes. My favorite is ropa vieja, which is the traditional dish of Cuba, and it's a slow roasted beef that's simmered in tomatoes with garlic and onions and a few other spices, and you serve it with a bed of rice and beans, and it's just really something flavorful and savory.
This particular week in where I'm broadcasting from in Lorain County, they have in the city of Lorain, it's known as the International City, they have an international festival. So this coming weekend, they have food booths with cultures from all over the world kind of represented, mainly put together by a lot of churches, because there's the one that it put together as well. So people get a chance to sample all sorts of different types of food. And depending on if they have different booths, you know, what culture is represented. So it's always a good one place to kind of try that and see who uses what spice as their kind of key spice to enhance their food. Because everybody will have chicken, but it is not all served the same way.
That's right. That sounds really great. You know, the more we can expose ourselves to international cuisine, the more spice we'll have in our lives.
Very well said. Again, the book is Cuban Flavor, Exploring the Island's Unique Places, People, and Cuisine. Our guest has been Liza Gershman. putting this together. As I saw, you said something about you're a photographer, journalist, but you're also somebody who likes to eat. So why can't you put a cookbook together?
That's right. That's right. That is so correct. This is actually my 12th book, and so I definitely like to eat and explore the world through food and people and music and dance. And Cuba's the perfect place. It just has all of that. So I highly encourage everyone listening to visit, and you can come with us. Again, CubanFlavorBook.com.